hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's begin with European club football. Group play is kicking off Tuesday evening in the UEFA Champions League, the premier club competition. In one of the featured matches in Group D, five-time European champion Barcelona will host Juventus, which reached the final last season before falling to Real Madrid 4-1 in Cardiff, Wales. Juventus is a two-time European champion. The Italian squad eliminated Barcelona 3-0 on aggregate in the quarterfinals last season. Barca's manager Ernesto Valverde describes Juventus as a powerful team, and he says his team's elimination last season is still very recent. In Glasgow, Scotland, in a Group B encounter, Celtic is at home against Paris Saint-Germain, whose high-priced signings of Neymar and Kylian Mbappe have French soccer fans dreaming of European glory. Celtic's manager Brendan Rodgers sizes up big-spending PSG.
Of course, they're big talents, and we have to rely on the team. And that's key, obviously. PSG play a very clear style of football. They like to build the game from behind, like many top teams. They have comfort in the build-up phase of their game. So you have to try and put as much pressure on that as you possibly can, but whilst being aware of the space behind. They're big talents, but we have to, collectively as a team, we have to be super organised, and we have to be able to read and concentrate the game as it develops. So yeah, it'll be a huge ask for us with that level of player and quality. But we're excited by that. We're certainly not intimidated by it, and we look forward to challenging it.
Celtic manager Brendan Rodgers speaking ahead of Tuesday night's UEFA Champions League match against Paris Saint-Germain. PSG is currently in first place in French Ligue 1, having won all five of its matches. Celtic is also on top of the Scottish Premiership, with four wins and one draw so far. In London, in a Group C match, Chelsea will host the Azerbaijani club Karabag at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea's Italian manager is Antonio Conte.
I think that Karabag is a good team. For them, this is the first time to play this competition. I know a lot of these players very well because I played against Azerbaijan when I was Italian coach, and we played in our qualification against them. And there are a lot of players to play with the national team. You must pay great attention, and these type of games, I like to call this game a tricky games, and we must pay great attention.
Chelsea manager Antonio Conte. Meanwhile, Chelsea is paying great attention to any fans who are found guilty of singing an anti-Semitic song during the club's 2-1 win over Leicester City. The song appeared to be directed at rivals Tottenham Hotspur, who have a traditional Jewish fan base. Chelsea's head of communications is Steve Atkins.
I think we made an initial statement after the game the other night, but happy to repeat, but also make clear. I mean, Chelsea Football Club finds all forms of discrimination abhorrent, and the language that was used in that song the other night we find totally unacceptable. People that use this kind of language against others always try and argue a grey area. There is no grey area. That language used was anti-Semitic, and we have a zero-tolerance policy towards it. If there is evidence that season ticket holders or members took part in that, and take part in it in the future, then we will take the strongest possible action against them, which includes bans. People should know that the police will be investigating, and they will investigate all future such episodes, and we will support the police in anything they need us to do, assist their inquiries, and we will also support criminal prosecution of such behaviour and activity. We must be clear on this, because it has to stop.
That's Steve Atkins, head of communications for Chelsea Football Club. South African football officials have agreed a 2018 World Cup qualifier against Senegal should be replayed on ethical and moral grounds. World Football's governing body, FIFA, ordered the replay after the Ghanaian referee for the original game, Joseph Lamte, was banned for life for manipulating the match. The South African Football Association, SAFA, was considering an appeal, but now says it agrees with FIFA. However, SAFA says it will appeal should Lamte's lifetime ban be overturned. South Africa beat visiting Senegal 2-1 in the original qualifier played in November 2016 in Polokwane, South Africa. That result has now been annulled, and South Africa loses the 3 points from the victory. FIFA is expected to decide later this week the exact date for the replay, which will take place in the international window in November, when Africa wraps up its qualifying competition for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. Now, here's the way the revised Group D in African World Cup qualifying now looks. Burkina Faso leads with 6 points from 4 World Cup qualifiers. Cape Verde also has 6 points, but the Stallions of Burkina Faso lead on goal difference. Senegal has 5 points from 3 qualifiers, while South Africa is at the bottom of the table with 1 point from 3 qualifiers. Our VOA football fans will remember the top team in each of Africa's 5 qualifying groups book a ticket to Russia 2018. Now let's go to Ghana, where first-round action is continuing at the WAFU Cup of Nations, a football tournament for teams in West Africa. In results Monday, Mali defeated Mauritania 3-1, and Nigeria beat Sierra Leone 2-0. Both matches were played at Cape Coast Sports Stadium in Cape Coast, Ghana. The tournament will continue through September 24th, when the final is played at the same Cape Coast Sports Stadium. The winner will receive $100,000 in prize money, the runner-up $50,000, and the third-place team $25,000. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten our way if you keep on the sunny side of life.
All right, Roy.
Let us greet with a song of hope each day. Though the moments be cloudy or fair, let us trust in our Savior always to keep us everyone in His care. So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day, it will brighten all the way, if you keep on the sunny side of life.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
Canelo will just know how to, you know, dance out of the way of that. You know that one shot you can get hit with three, and it's that one shot. If that would have hit him, I think Canelo's got enough skill to kind of evade that final finishing punch. And people don't realise, Golovkin's got the same record as Tyson did. I think he's had 33 fights with they've got the matching record. So you can see that Golovkin's a beast. He is a beast. But I think he's up against a real talented fighter in Canelo. And I'm really looking forward to it. And if I was a betting man and I had to choose a side, now I'm going to go with Team Canelo.
That's world heavyweight boxing champion Anthony Joshua, who's going with Team Canelo in Saturday night's world middleweight title fight between Saul Canelo Alvarez and Gennady Triple G Golovkin in Las Vegas, Nevada. For our VOA boxing fans keeping score, I'm also going with Team Canelo, and so is Namdi Hollywood Moueta, our reigning prince of pugilistics. So if we're wrong and Triple G drops some bombs on Canelo and puts him away, just make sure to talk with Anthony Joshua first. Talk with AJ. AJ made his Canelo Triple G fight prediction in Cardiff, Wales, where he'll defend his heavyweight title belts October 28th against the Bulgarian boxer Kubrat Pulev. Pulev has a professional record of 25 wins and one loss. The loss came almost 3 years ago to former world heavyweight champion Vladimir Klitschko, who recently announced his retirement from the fight game at the age of 41. Anthony Joshua talks about his opponent next month.
It's that same mindset. He was beaten by a great champion. He got himself in position to be a challenger. So he had to beat so many people to kind of be in a position to be a challenger for that title. So I have to give him respect to being in a position to be a challenger for that title. He gave his best. He came up short. And he went again and again and again. And I think he's fought three times since then and he's won. So he's back in winning ways. He's put that behind him. And now he wants to prove himself against the new face on the block. Do you know what I mean? So he may feel confident, he may not feel confident, but we'll find out when he gets in the ring.
When unbeaten Anthony Joshua gets in the ring October 28th in Cardiff, he'll bring with him three world title belts as well as 19 consecutive victories as a prize fighter. All 19 of those wins have come by way of knockout, a testament to AJ's impressive power. While in Cardiff, Joshua also commented on Vladimir Klitschko's decision to retire.
I respect it. I won't say I was disappointed because I have to respect the man's decision. But on the other hand, it was like I knew I could have done better than I did the first fight and I wanted to show that. And I think he kept on saying he was obsessed in the build-up and I kept on listening to that. I'm obsessed. And I know what it's like when you're obsessed, like when you lose. Let's say you're playing a game with your mate and you lose. And even though you're laughing with him, deep down, all you want to do is beat him. So he come across like he wanted these belts. So I thought if he lost once and failed at the first hurdle, he's going to come back again. And it was building towards like that trilogy, that like the Frasers, Ali's, those type of trilogies, matches that people used to have years ago. And that's what I was looking forward to. So when it didn't happen, I was like, you know, we could have really lit the sky up again. But no problem, I respect your decision, and that's what I mean. I have to put it behind me and move forward.
That's world heavyweight boxing champion Anthony Joshua. And AJ was talking in Cardiff, Wales, where he'll fight the Bulgarian Kubrat Pulev on October 28th. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And if our Voice of America listeners check out my Facebook page today, Tuesday, they'll see a nice photo by my producer this evening, Bill Werkinger. Bill snapped a shot of me with Kofi Opari, a defender for DC United. Kofi is having his best season in Major League Soccer. This is his fifth season in MLS, and I had a chance to talk with Kofi during a couple of DC United training sessions. And you'll see in the photo, I'm wearing a black shirt with a red tie, in case our listeners are wondering about that combination. Well, the nickname of DC United is the Black and the Red. Those are the official colors for DC United, the Black and the Red. And you can hear my interview with Kofi Opari later this week, right here on the Sunny Side of Sports. I mentioned my Facebook page. Our listeners can also check me out, follow me on Twitter. My handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back to Studio 22, Andrew. What's trending out there in the sports world?
Well, as we talked about last week, the National Football League season has kicked off, starting with Thursday night football last week. So that meant that last night was the first Monday night football game of the season. And on that first Monday night football matchup, the two games between the New Orleans Saints and the Minnesota Vikings and the Denver Broncos and the San Diego Chargers, history was made last night, because in that Denver-San Diego matchup, Denver Broncos coach Vance Joseph and San Diego Chargers coach Anthony Lynn became the first two African-American coaches to make their coaching debut in the National Football League in the same game. So that was pretty historic last night. A lot of people noting that, especially those Broncos and Chargers fans noting what a historic night that was. But it was historic on the media side as well, because you had Beth Mowins becoming the first woman in three decades to serve as a play-by-play announcer for a regular season National Football League game, and the first woman ever to be the play-by-play announcer for a nationally broadcast National Football League game. So a big step forward in sports equality. Lots of football fans, especially female football fans and female sports fans generally, saying that they were really appreciative of Beth Mowins taking this leap forward, that she's been an inspiration for them. She's inspiring a lot of female sports journalists, and hopefully an inspiration to young girls who want to be sports broadcasters and get into sports as well. So there hasn't been a lot of equality in sports broadcasting as far as gender is concerned. This is one step forward with that. So congratulations to Beth Mowins for taking that leap forward.
Yes, congratulations to her. And I realize, Andrew, that story takes place shortly after kind of an equality step forward in the Bundesliga. That's Germany's National Football League. Over the weekend, Bibiana Steinhaus, a 38-year-old police officer, she became the first woman to referee a Bundesliga match, a top-tier match. So we salute her also. Her post-match comments, I'm just relieved that it's over. But I think overall she did a good job. In fact, the president of the German Football Association gave her a big thumbs up and said he looks forward to seeing her blowing her whistle at more matches in the Bundesliga. So, yes, I think we're going to see more women, not just in sports broadcasting, but maybe on the field as referees.
Yeah, we've seen that in the U.S. sports leagues. We've had, I think, in the National Basketball Association, female referees. There's some barriers that still have yet to be broken. A female coach, a head coach. They've had female assistant coaches, but hopefully we'll see some of that and more sports equality coming our way. The other big story out of Monday Night Football, not quite historic, maybe historically bad. A man by the name of Sergio Dipp, he's a journalist with the ESPN sports broadcaster here in the U.S., and he usually reports for ESPN Deportes, which is their Spanish network, Spanish channel. He made his Monday Night Football debut as a sideline reporter last night, and let's just say it did not go very well. They cut to him, and he had a very kind of halting speech. He seemed to lose his words when talking about Denver Broncos coach Vance Joseph and the history that he was making. Sergio Dipp quickly became the talk of social media, people saying it was incredibly awkward. People wondering why they didn't see him for the rest of the broadcast and saying, oh, because he wasn't that good, so they didn't go cut back to him. But others saying they want to see more of him. He's become a meme now. He's become kind of an internet sensation. So people want to see more. They think that he'd be a fun part of the broadcast. Maybe he can redeem himself in future broadcasts. Dipp, to his credit, he took to social media to joke that he was searching Google for how to deal with fame. I guess that's what happens when you become a meme. Later on last night, he posted a video to Twitter where he explained, as a minority, because he's Hispanic, he wanted to try to honor these two coaches as minorities in their head coaching roles in the NFL. And in Sergio Dipp's words, it all went wrong. So sometimes it just happens. You get tongue-tied, you get stressed out in the situation, but hopefully he'll make a comeback. Certainly he's got the internet talking, and he's a lot more famous today than he was yesterday.
Andrew, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday shout-out for Chinese giant Yao Ming. Yao was enshrined last year in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Yao was born September 12, 1980 in Shanghai, China, and he's credited with really developing the game in Asia, as well as bridging Asian basketball with the National Basketball Association. Yao's career cut short by leg and foot injuries. But I mentioned that Facebook photo of me with DC United defender Kofi Apari. I encourage our listeners to check out that Facebook page. Once again, you'll see a nice photo of Yao Ming by USA Today sports photographer David Butler. And David took a nice shot of Yao being inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. And as you might imagine, Andrew, he towers behind the podium there at the Basketball Hall of Fame, Big Yao.
Yeah, hard to find a podium that'll fit everybody in that scenario. You have some very big height disparities there.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. And Andrew, I know you're a bit downcast now that the U.S. Open tennis tournament is over.
A little bit, but you know what? I have something to celebrate still, because I just saw on social media who is on the cover of Sports Illustrated magazine this week. None other than Sloane Stephens celebrating her win. So we saw some social media from that. She got to pick out her cover there at their headquarters. It was a very cool moment. So I'll be reading that article this week.
All right, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Sonny.
And that wraps up the September 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The people of South Sudan are experiencing the world's worst food security crisis, one caused not by drought or flood, but by man-made conflict, a power struggle between President Salva Kiir and former Vice President Riek Machar that spiraled into a civil war in late 2013. Famine was declared in part of South Sudan in early 2017, but with quick action on the part of the international community, including the United States, famine was alleviated 4 months later. However, the overall food security situation in South Sudan remains dire, with more than half the current population, 6 million people, facing life-threatening hunger this year. The United States is the biggest donor to the massive humanitarian effort in South Sudan. Since 2013, we have contributed nearly $2.7 billion in humanitarian assistance for the South Sudanese people, including those who have fled to neighboring countries. $729 million has been provided in 2017 alone. In South Sudan, one of the biggest obstacles to delivering emergency aid is gaining access to those in need in one of the most difficult and expensive countries in which to deliver assistance. South Sudan is also the most dangerous country in the world for aid workers. Since the conflict began in December 2013, 85 aid workers have been killed. According to the United Nations, nearly 630 incidents hindering humanitarian access occurred between January and July of this year. Some 36% of them involved violence against humanitarian personnel, assets, or civilian infrastructure. So far this year, 27 security incidents have forced around 300 relief workers to relocate from areas of operation. At the same time, humanitarian aid organizations have complained that their movements are often restricted, often by the government. During a visit to South Sudan on September 2nd, USAID Administrator Mark Green said, "While it is true that we support the people of South Sudan, it is just as true that the situation has deteriorated to the point where a serious reexamination of U.S. policy is appropriate. We urge President Kiir and his government to both acknowledge and address the worsening humanitarian crisis in South Sudan, restore a permanent ceasefire by ceasing ongoing military offensives, end obstruction of humanitarian access, eliminate exorbitant fees levied on aid organizations, and engage in a meaningful, inclusive peace process."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Linor Moudou. Please join me live every Tuesday at 17:30 UTC in VOA's health program, Health Chat. Hear from doctors, nurses, international experts discussing the health issues of your concern. Health Chat puts listeners directly in touch with medical professionals. You can talk to them live for free or email your questions. Health Chat brings the medical professionals to your home.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, fresh off a three-nation Africa visit to the Democratic Republic of Congo, Zambia, and Tanzania, Shaka Sali talks about the fascinating people he met and the challenges he encountered, reporting on democracy in Africa. On the road with Shaka, on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.